And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes of Shoreline Church. Jason, happy Reformation Day.
Wow. I am disappointed today that when I saw you, you were not in costume.
I am not in costume.
It is disappointing.
I'm a bit of a fuddy-dud. I don't know if you know that about me.
It is a tad offensive. Yeah. I don't know why, I felt like I needed to see you in costume.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, I'm a bit of a fuddy-dud when it comes to dressing up.
And so, information we already knew.
I'm an old man in a very young man's body.
Right. I don't know if I'd go very young man's body.
And so... I just don't do that. I just don't. My kids dress up. You know, we're going to go.
Can I get a preview as to know what the Wood children will be dressed up as today?
Gavin is going to be Batman.
Nice.
Which is very gospel. He's a very God-glorifying Batman, which is good. And then Summer is going to be a tiger. She wanted to be a tiger of some sort. Evelyn is being some character off of Daniel Tiger.
Nice.
I don't know which character.
So let's just stop. Maybe the most important thing that we have ever discussed on this show. Who knew that Daniel Tiger was a spinoff
of
Mr. Rogers?
I didn't know that until...
I watched it for years with my boys. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute.
The opening song is what got me. I was like, that's the Mr. Rogers theme song.
Right.
And then everybody around me was like, yeah, it's
have
a
you seen the Mr. Rogers documentary?
I haven't
or whatever?
Yet. I want to see it. Yeah, I grew up on that man.
Yeah.
Listening and watching and,
nice. So anyways, I
wear cardigans today because of Mr. Rogers.
Well played.
So then Charlie, the smallest one, she's 10 or 11 months and she's dressing up as something, but I don't know what it is.
Well, clearly
I had a lot of involvement in their outfits.
So the last few years, we've gone big.
Okay.
You know, we were not huge for a number of reasons. Big, obviously, Halloween participants.
Sure.
But we do allow our kids to dress up for, like, trunk or treat at school and things of that sort. And so we usually try to do a theme for the family. And so a couple of years ago, we did a full Star Wars. Five of us. Carrie was Princess Leia. I was Yoda. Boys were, you know, various stormtroopers and such. And then last year, our boys were Kevin McAllister.
Oh, that's good.
Marv and Harry from Home Alone.
Greatest movie.
And they were fantastic. This year, we are in the middle of a home renovation and we don't really know where anything in our house is. And so we went way, way simple. And my youngest, I believe, is a ninja.
Okay.
Because it just happens to already be in our costume closet. My middle is, what's the guy from the Lego movie? Lowell? Is it Lowell, I think?
Lloyd. It's a great
Lloyd. Yeah, I think I've called him Lowell for the last like 3 days.
I think it's
my bad on that. Lloyd. Yeah. And then my oldest son is sixth grade now and he's getting close to too cool for school, which is fine.
I get it.
And, he'll put on enough that will, warrant a neighbor giving him candy. That will be the extent of it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I think next year y'all should go as the Rockettes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So this morning I have to say this before we jump into the life-giving conversation that I'm sure will ensue. This morning I was in a bit of a hurry, had a number of things to do. I actually had the opportunity to be on the Bob Bell Show this morning.
Yep. I heard you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And always good to be with him. And then maybe – actually prefer to be with him than, I don't want to name any names. Radio personalities. But, anyways, I was with him this morning and then I had to get to a CARM breakfast, Knoxville Area Rescue Ministry breakfast that I was going to be speaking at. And so the point is I had to get up and get going out the door. I turned the shower water on, immediately heard my dog barking. And so I needed to hurry, and let my dog out. He needed to use the restroom. Well, in that process, apparently I had left the shower door partially open. And so what happened is when I came back into the bathroom, little to my knowing, the floor was slick. And so I hurry into the bathroom, and before you know it, my feet are like above my head. I am slow motion falling all over myself, slam myself into the huge scratch down my back on the side wow. of the bathroom, bathroom sink or cabinet. I mean, it was bad. Thump. Where my wife woke up, immediately walked in there, thought I was having a heart attack. I mean, it was.
When at your age. It was. That's.
Exactly.
That's.
Exactly. It could have happened. You never know. And so, it has been a day. But when man, I'm glad. Here we are, 5 o'clock. We made it.
And it's great that you wear the Life Alert necklace.
That's
so,
right.
So that you could. You
in
could
case
push
I were
say,
to fall.
I have fallen and I
can't
get up.
So right.
That is, I'm glad that you, it worked today.
Right.
So that's,
exactly.
That's good. So
the good news is it just created such commotion that it got all of our family up a little bit
perfect.
Earlier.
Perfect.
And my middle son had a field trip today, and so he was up and ready to roll.
Were they
so
going to the haunted house?
They did not do the haunted house. Not as educational as you might think.
Okay.
And so they actually went to the symphony, and they went up in the world in the Sun Sphere today.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, a big day for everybody.
Wow.
And I guess a fairly muted evening here in just a bit.
That's good. Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing tonight is trunk or treat. Where I grew up in a very rural area, you would just walk house to house. And I know a lot of people still do that. But living in the big city that is Knoxville,
a mega city.
You can just pick a church and man, you could just rack
it's
up.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I was thinking last time I checked, the Woods are partners of this church
are.
That I'm familiar with that I actually happen to pastor, Shoreline Church. And then
yep.
I was like, I don't remember us doing a trunk
yeah,
or treat.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, you're going to a trunk or
we
treat.
We are. And so it's connected to our kids' school.
Got it. Okay.
And so,
sure
and a church.
It sure it is.
and so we'll be going to that tonight.
Nice.
And we'll be packing up the 12 passengers.
So you'll be part of the unreached community that they're seeking to minister to.
Exactly.
Fair
and
enough.
That's what's important.
That's
I mean,
good.
Some
good.
Of my kids are unreached
it's
technically
a,
at the moment. So
it's a gift to everyone.
And so, yeah, so what we really want to talk about today
that
is
was the longest, hardest
intro. That was
maybe worst intro
yeah,
ever, but I like it.
But coming up this Sunday is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we wanted to talk about is adoption, fostering, orphan care. Why? Because this Sunday is
Orphan Sunday.
Yeah. And so we want to, as our between Sundays conversation this week, we want to focus on that, the adoption, the taking care of orphans. And I think it's important. I mean, this is, you know, we were texting back and forth and, you know, the work that I do at Hope Resource Center, adoption and fostering and all of that is very important to what we do when it comes to standing for life. But the church, we've been called. This isn't something that we may or may not participate in. This is something that we've been called to as Christians to engage in and be involved in. And I think at times the society, I hear this quite a bit and I see it on social media, you know, where people will say, oh, sure, you're pro-life, but once that baby's here, who's going to take care of it? You don't want to take care of it. You don't want to adopt. You don't want to foster. And so we hear this a lot, but the reality is the church, Christians, are adopting more than anyone.
Right.
They're the ones that are opening up orphanages around the world. They're the ones that are fostering and adopting. Is there room for improvement? 100%. Absolutely. But we're making work of it and we're actually getting involved. And so let's start there with the misconception that Christians aren't doing enough. I think at times when we talk about adoption and fostering, it's easy for pastors and leaders to kind of beat up on our people
sure.
and on the church and the Christians and saying you're not doing enough. But let's start with, hey, we're doing a lot.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's worth starting just by applauding.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine a number of our listeners are intimately connected to the ministries that fall under the umbrella of orphan care. And again, that is diverse. It is domestic. It is international. You think even just in our own community, it includes things like foster care. There's an amazing organization called Safe Families that we've partnered with over the years. And there's all kinds of folks that are doing any number of things, including people that very well may not be bringing children into their home. They are aunts and uncles. They're lay people mm-hmm. in the church that are providing resources or encouragement or nights out and babysitters and things of that sort. And so, yes, by all means, The church in many, many ways is doing a fantastic job. And I think today, what we want to spend our time talking about isn't so much just this appeal to do more. Mm-hmm. While naturally that does exist, we are always going to have some degree of an orphan epidemic. We are always going to have some degree of the need for a foster care system. And our hope is that the church can minimize those needs, because of our involvement in those systems. But what we really want to do today is talk about the why. You know, for us as a church, you know, you can ask your people to do certain things so many times until eventually burnout happens. Mm-hmm. And so you think about, you know, if a church says, hey, we need to raise money for X, you know, we need to build a building. We need to do something of that sort. Well, if you're a growing church, one of the things you have to be aware of is that if you're not careful, what you've done is you've just asked somebody to do something almost out of guilt or out of some degree of kind of manipulation. And if it wasn't this heart matter, you know, what happens? 2 months down the road, after they'd given their check to the building campaign, mm-hmm. well, their car breaks down and now they're bitter. Or something else comes up down the road and it's another financial need and you're just making the same plea. That's why we don't just need to be asking people to be involved in things like orphan care. You just really need it to be a heart mm-hmm. matter. It needs to be something that the body of Christ is truly compelled by. And so today we want to talk a little bit about the theology of adoption. We want to talk a little bit, not just about the theology, but we also want to talk about what it can do for us in our own heart.
Yeah, and we have to recognize that in a Genesis 3 world, there are going to be orphans. There are going Right. to be there are going to be families that, for whatever reason, children are either taken from them because of decisions that the parents have made, or in some cases, you know, around the world, we see where parents either place their child for adoption, or in some terrible cases, they look around and say, "I can't do this." And in certain states, you have laws of secret safe places, and you Right. can actually take your child within a certain time frame after birth. You can take your child and drop it off, and no questions really are asked, and you don't face any prosecution or anything like that. And we have laws like that on the books to protect the child. That's ultimately what it is. That's a terrible situation, but the goal there is to protect children. So as we come back from the break, you know, that's where we want to go is what does the gospel say about adoption, fostering, taking, loving the orphans, and what are some things that are already out there? We don't have to reinvent the wheel. What are some things that are already out there? Some organizations, some partnerships that we already have in place at Shoreline or other places where if people are listening and saying, you know, I've thought about it, but even thinking of doing the research is overwhelming.
Yeah, you can feel
intimidated. Where can we point them in that? And that's what we're going to dive into today. We'll be back. So it is October 31st, if you're listening to us live, and what that means is many, many years ago, Jason, in 1517, Martin Luther, the 95, bam. Just bang, bang, bang.
Bam, bam.
I mean, and if you haven't looked into
that.
You
think it actually made that noise? Probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he probably had
a
different
a
hammer.
Door.
And it was probably a different type of hammer than what we have today.
Right. I don't want to minimize that.
No,
much.
It was
you want to
amazing.
Talk about like legitimately so, life changing or world altering.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so if you're listening to this and going, I don't know what y'all are talking about. Why did Andrew earlier say Happy Reformation Day? Look it up. It changed the landscape of a lot of things. It changed the trajectory of a lot of things and what God used, Martin Luther to do. And it got the word in people's hands and translations and all of that. Just a beautiful, beautiful picture of the gospel.
So with that said, let me talk about a non-gospel issue for
okay.
just a second before we jump back in.
Okay.
Halloween candy.
Yes.
When your children...
I'm a fan.
When your children come back with bags uh-huh. of candy this evening, what will be the item that you choose to use your dad rights on?
Yeah.
That you will say... I brought you into this world, mm-hmm. and I have access to your candy.
Yeah,
will it be?
The top two, without a doubt, for me, is always going to be a cherry blow pop or any cherry or strawberry Airhead.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a connoisseur, if I may use that word, of concession stand food.
I believe you already have used that word.
And so concession stand food, my mom was a team mom for a long time. Nice. And so we would go, I remember the first time I went to Sam's with my mom, and I saw a box of Airheads, not wow. just like one. And I went, hold on, we can buy the whole box.
You're telling me, wait a minute, I don't have to pay a quarter for every
and
time?
And so Airhead, that's always my first, because as soon as the taste and the smell hits me, it takes me back.
So as a concession stand junkie,
mm-hmm.
what would you have done if you, what would you do if you showed up to my house tonight to trick or treat
mm-hmm.
and we were giving away nachos?
That's what you're giving away?
What if we were?
I would.
Would you be terrified or would you be excited?
Like I would.
Concession stand nachos in the plastic container.
Yeah, out of the safety of my children, I wouldn't let them eat it.
But you would but eat it.
I would absolutely eat it. 100% I would
Fair
eat
enough.
It. So that's my candy go-to. What about you?
Well, see, I'm more of a chocolate guy.
Okay. Yeah.
So I would definitely go probably Kit Kat.
Okay.
Also, I'm a big Milk Duds guy.
Okay.
I enjoy Milk Duds. Yeah, definitely wouldn't have gone anything in the taffy category or anything.
You're missing
of that
out.
Sort. I know.
I wad
you,
that Airhead
you
up.
You and my wife Carrie would get
I
along.
I wad that Airhead
air
up,
great. Yeah.
And I eat it all at once.
Wow.
That's how I eat an Airhead.
Anyways, back to the important
yeah.
issue.
And so as we think about that, you should also brush your teeth after
sure.
doing all those things. It will be very important that you do that. So this Sunday is Orphan Sunday, and as we look about how the church needs to be involved in this, it is important to kind of give some numbers when we look at how many orphans are there. I mean, we think about adoption, we think about foster care and all that, but worldwide, 150 million orphans worldwide,
yep.
roughly.
Yeah, and they think that number could be even higher
sure.
when you consider the numbers that aren't registered, connected, things of that sort, yeah.
And then this number is interesting. While one quarter of all adults say they have seriously considered adoption, only 2% actually have done so.
Yeah.
And so that's concerning. But as Christians, we read this and we think, okay, well, that's a positive thing. Practicing Christians are more than twice as likely to adopt than the general population. And that's where we want to kind of camp out for a second is for a Christian, again, this isn't something that we just opt in, opt out. It's something we need to be involved in. Maybe for you, that is actually adopting. Maybe
right.
it is fostering. But maybe it's helping those that do that. It's providing the car seats. It's providing the food, the babysitting, the pack and plays, all of those things. Maybe you're listening and you're like, look, I already have 4 kids or I already have 5 kids or I already have 3 kids. They're all young and now's just not the time. And that's okay. Because the most folks that are adopting are actually older. And I would say the reason behind that probably is because their kids are now older.
Right.
And they're in a different season of life. And so what does it look like from a theology standpoint, from a pastor standpoint, when we step into discussing this? Again, I think at times when we discuss this, people walk out of churches either feeling guilty or beat up. Because they've just been fussed at for an hour of why they're not adopting or fostering, but let's discuss this from a point of this is why we do it, and this is what the gospel says to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us we go back to one. This is an image bearer issue, so let's just start with that. I appreciate what you said earlier is that. How many times people do say, well, if you're gonna say that life matters, then you better stand up and, mm-hmm. and do something for those that need to be adopted. And that is correct.
Yeah.
Because indeed, from the womb, all the way to the point of death, any person is made in the image of God. They are an image bearer. They matter to God. And so we don't look at them as anything less than that. They're not just some second-rate citizen. They're not someone who's been discarded by the world. This is someone who is made in the image of God, just like you and I are. And so there is tremendous value in that. And so there's a starting point. But I think the gospel is also clearly seen in the idea that indeed we were lost. We were without a spiritual home. We were without a family of sorts. And we were in need of adoption. This is the beauty of what God did through his son, Jesus, that those who were unredeemed, those who were distant, those who We're in great need in every way. We're rescued from someone that really, when we had nothing to offer, someone still chose to mm-hmm. give their greatest love to us. And so this is a picture of the gospel.
Yeah, and it's important that we as Christians understand the image bearer issue. I often talk about, when I'm speaking on behalf of Hope and talking about the life issue, sometimes we mess up when we start seeing people as representatives of issues instead of representatives of the God that created all of us. And so they may not be believers, but they do bear the image of our Creator. And so when we start seeing this as a simple issue, then I think we miss out. Adoption is an issue that we need to dive into and engage with, but it first and foremost is an image bearer thing that we need to look at and say, every child that is labeled orphan bears the image of our Creator. And at times when we talk about the life issue, what we tend to hear is, you know, well, we're against abortion because maybe we've aborted the person that's going to cure cancer. Or look at Tim Tebow. His mom was told to abort, and look how awesome Tim Tebow is. And all of those things
But what about the guy that didn't?
Yeah, and that's always been my heart is, well, what about the kid that's in state's custody?
He has
just as much value. Just because he's not on TV or he's not going to cure cancer doesn't mean he doesn't have value. And so we as Christians have to be careful with those words, because then what we do is we turn it into just an issue and not something that directly impacts the image bearers that are around us. And so when we look at when I go to, we have some friends that from Shoreline that have adopted. And when we got to go to the court and watch that process, it's a beautiful process. Yeah. Is watching this family grow and expand and watching all of that, and little child having no idea really what's going on because of her age, but watching that and saying, this is what we've been called to do.
Right.
This is the importance of it because they have taken an image bearer in. They have said, we want you.
Right.
And not because they've done anything great or amazing, but simply because they bear the image of our Creator.
Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved.
That'll preach, Jason.
Come on.
We'll be back. So today's conversation is one on adoption and orphan care. And Jason, we just ended the last segment with some pretty powerful, some pretty heavy verses that I think many Christians have probably read. But if we read them and take our time through them, they really hit us hard when we see that the Lord, before the foundations of the earth, chose us, adopted us. And so when we look at that, this isn't just us in a way rescuing the orphan, but the reality is that in that, we have a sense of rescuing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I do not want to minimize in any fashion just the need, mm-hmm. So I don't want to make this a selfish thing, because there is a tremendous, tremendous need out there. I mean, whether it's domestically, whether it's internationally. And when we really begin to consider what some of these children have been through, the hardships of being passed in and out of the foster care system, I mean, there is tremendous need. So let's keep the gospel at the center. Mm-hmm. Then let's consider the child. But I would just mention this as well. You know, as I said earlier, I had the privilege to speak at the CARM, which is Knoxville Area Rescue Ministries. For those of you that don't know, I had a chance to speak at their partner appreciation breakfast this morning for just a few moments. And I shared that, you know, when I think of things like the homeless community, but also when I think about people like our orphan community and those that are without fathers and mothers, we often like to consider ourselves to be the rescuer, mm-hmm. right? In fact, it's one of the things we try to really fight against as a church. We are new to the city, 6 years old, but we do not believe that we came in as the savior to the city. There's amazing churches that have come far before us, and we stand on the legacy of their faith and the shoulders of their faith. And so we've got a ton to be thankful for that. And so one, we're not doing something that other people have never considered. And secondly, and more importantly, Jesus is the center of all this. Mm-hmm. He's the rescuer of it. But when we think about something like, again, maybe the homeless community board in this conversation, the orphan, we like to think we're going to rescue them, right? I'm going to rescue them from the orphanage. I'm going to rescue them from the foster care system. I'm going to pull them out of that situation where they don't get enough food mm-hmm. or they don't have a loving mother or a loving father. And yet, I would say the Lord, in his kindness, in his grace, and I believe also in very much his continued repercussions of the gospel, continuing to move throughout humanity, I believe that they are used by God to rescue us. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Lord will actually bring revival on the backs of the orphan, in the hands of the foster child. Why? Because it begins to purge from us this idea that we just need to lean in on comfort and convenience and our perfect plan for what our families are going to look like and our perfect plan for what retirement's going to look like mm-hmm. or what, you know, once our kids get to this age, this is what we're going to do with our time. It begins to purge those ideas from us. And the Lord truly is using them to rescue us from our own self-centeredness and pride. And man, not only is that child better off because of it, but we are better off because of it.
Yeah. And it is a beautiful picture of the gospel. And where we find ourselves at times is, well when do I, I think if we're honest, and I'll be honest, I live and breathe pro-life work. Like that's what I do every single day. I have four children and they're all young. And, but even in though there are those moments where you go, when am I going to have like me time? Like we have those moments and some may say it's selfish. Some of that is sinful. But some of those times you're like, I just long for the day where my wife and I can just sit and not hear any. You know, there's a commercial that's been coming on and they're saying, do you hear that? And the husband says, I don't hear anything. And the wife says, yeah, it's quiet. So I get it. I know that there are some listening to this and saying, look, this isn't the time for me. And I get that. It may not be the time. It may not be the season. But is there something that we can do? Are we at least recognizing that there are kids, some infants, some that are teenagers, some that are going to spend their entire childhood in foster care?
Right.
From house to house, or maybe not even house to house, maybe just in state's custody. And they're going to age out. And then what?
Right.
And so we as a church, if we're not leading the way in that, then who is?
Right.
And so again, it's not that we're here to rescue the city. It's not to look at our family and go, we're going to be the ones that save every child that's out there. But it's saying, look, I want to be a part of what God has for Knoxville. I want to be a part of what God has for this country or for this world. And then actually do the research and look into it.
Right.
And at least start the process. It's okay to start the process and it may take you 5 years. It's okay to start the process and it takes you 10 years. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you say, look, when our youngest child is out of high school, then we're going to look into that. And to me, there's nothing more beautiful than looking at a family that should be retired, or maybe they are retired and they're going, yeah, we're going to adopt. We're going to take in. And I know, even Bob Bell wouldn't say this on air, but even at Joy 620, Bob Bell and his wife, do respite care and they take care of foster kids.
Yeah, he and I spoke this morning just
on the weekends. And so it's a beautiful thing that all their kids are grown and I don't know if all of them are married, but most of them are. And now they're pouring in and loving on, these other kids and giving respite care to these families. And so what we have to do is just know that it's there It's not something that we need to be beat up about, but it's something that's there, and how are we engaging with it?
Well, we have to fight the temptation to either to say I'm either all in or completely out.
Yeah,
you know, that's that we have this thought that if I can't adopt or I don't feel like I'm in a certain circumstance or situation where I can adopt, well, then I'm just out. I'm out altogether on the cause, the conversation. No, there is a lot that you can do. You may be blessed financially, and you might be able to be in a situation where, you know, hey, it's not going to be right in your home. It's just not going to work, whether it's due to age or due to other circumstances or situation. You could not bring a child into your home, but there is someone legitimately right down the street that would do it in a heartbeat. But the thing that's keeping them from doing it is the cost, you know, and sometimes we say no for ourselves. One of the things that I challenge our staff to be careful of. In fact, one of those guys, didn't get angry at him. I laughed but he gave me one of my own leadership principles yesterday. It's one of the principles that I say to our people, which is, or to our staff, I said, don't say no to people. Don't say no for people. You know, just ask. And so I said, I don't know if that guy would want to do that. And he said, well, let's not say no for him. And I was like, don't you dare. No, I didn't. I wasn't quite like that. But in the same way, you know, let's not just assume that, well, really the only people that are going to be interested in adoption or foster care are going to be those that are in their 30s and already have young children in their home, or those that have struggled to find, you know, to be able to have children. Let's not assume anything. And let's also not assume that other people wouldn't want to be involved in other ways.
Well, and the reality is, just because of what we know at Hope with adoption, there are some moms that are choosing adoption for their child. And when they're looking through, they may see a family with young kids and say, I don't want that family to adopt my child. I want my child to be adopted by someone that is unable to have children. And so there's plenty of things that go in it. So if you're looking at your family makeup and going, well, there's no way we can do it, that may not be true. Maybe it is, but it may not be true. And so at least be willing to look into that again, because they bear the image of our Creator, and we have to be a people that care about it.
Right.
And what that looks like is a lot of different things. There's ministries at churches that you can get involved in. I know some churches are hosting fostering classes and clinics and things like that, so you can get the training.
Yeah, I would mention just while we're here, you know, I'd just mention, you know, with Shoreline, what we're trying to do. So we've actually started an open hands ministry. They do a number of different things. We're trying to bring awareness to the situation. We also have created a matching, basically a grant type system for those that are in our church where they say, I want to adopt. Obviously, financially, it is very expensive or can be very expensive, especially if you're talking internationally. And so where we can match funds for that, we're also providing just general care for those that are already in that community. And then we often host PATH classes. So if you are interested in foster care, PATH classes are something that's required. And so, in fact, I believe this upcoming January, we will host the next round of PATH classes at Shoreline Church.
Yeah, and so... And if you go through one of those classes, that doesn't mean that the next week they're going to bring a child to your house.
No, exactly.
That's not how it works.
Give you a certificate and a child.
Yeah, that's not how that works. So don't feel like, well, man, I'd like to know more, but I'm nervous that they're going to bring a child to my doorstep. No, that's not the case. That's just going to give you the process and the tools that you need for when that time comes. Lord willing, that you'll be in a better place and ready for that. And so this is a moment that the church, frankly, is leading
in and
needs to continue to lead in. So it's not one of those things where the church is dropping the ball. The church has picked the ball up for a long time in orphan care. Certainly we can do more, but we have been leading the way in this, and we need to continue that leadership.
Yeah, in fact, when we come back, I want to mention just one other thing that Shoreline's doing that I'd encourage really all of our listeners to jump into as well.
So today we've been talking about a lot of things: orphan care, adoption, fostering,
Halloween candy,
and the Reformation. you definitely need to go read a book on Martin Luther.
Yes.
And
while you eat milk duds.
And get a. I've seen some pictures today of a pretty impressive haircut. That I don't know if that's what his hair looked like, but it was like bald everywhere except a little ring of hair
Correct.
Around the, which
Correct.
Is.
It's almost like the Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it.
It is very difficult to describe.
It's like backwards balding.
Yeah, it is very difficult, but it's also a choice.
Right.
Like it was a purpose. There was a purpose behind it. It wasn't a, yeah, it's just where my hair grows.
Yeah.
It was, no, I'm going to cut my hair this way. And so, and that's okay. You know,
I'll give him a pass for basically changing the course of history.
Absolutely.
When you change the course of the history of the church for the better,
with your hair.
Do what you want, man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Yeah. So as we finish up, we were into the last segment and there's something else that Shoreline is doing that you want to encourage people to be a part of.
Yeah. So in fact, we're going to be talking about this and I'll mention it here in the next couple of weeks on the show. But we're going to be a part of something called Give Knoxville. And we are doing this with a family of churches, Shoreline Church, our church, and then, Hope Fellowship, the church that we actually planted. We need to get Dominique on the show one day. It would be fun. Dominique is the pastor of Hope Fellowship. They meet at Austin East High School right now. And then City Church, which is right down there and will soon to be right near the new Regal headquarters on the other side of the river. And so amazing, amazing folks. But we are going to be doing something called Give Knoxville. And what we are doing together is we are going to commit to providing Christmas gifts for all of the foster families that are within the DCS system this upcoming Christmas. And so that is almost 300 families. There are more families that have foster children in their home in Knoxville. They're connected to independent agencies and things of that sort. And our hope is to grow that number in the years ahead. But for this year, the nearly 300 families connected to DCS, our goal is to provide Christmas gifts for those families. And so there's a really neat means of how we're going to do that. And I'll be sharing all that in the coming days. There's going to be a website. So basically you can just go and almost think of it almost as Amazon wish list. But what you can do is you can buy certain things for the Smith family or actually you wouldn't know all the family names, but you'd be able to know, hey, here's a need. I can meet this portion of the need. I can meet all of the need. I could choose to pay for two families or a part of a family or even just one gift. You can do that. And so not only can you choose to make that commitment, but our hope is that also a lot of folks will say, hey, listen, rather than you getting me a sweater I'm never going to wear, or, you know, you buying me that third set of tools that I don't really need, why don't you take the money that you are going to spend on me for a Christmas gift and just go to Give Knoxville and help take care of one of these families that are in the foster system.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this and saying, well, it's not about the presents at Christmas, yes, clearly. But also, this is such a beautiful serve moment for the church to step up and give not just kids but families an opportunity to enjoy themselves. Right. Some of my parents divorced when I was 14, and there was a lot of messiness and brokenness in the home that I grew up in. But I can look back now, and my best memories were around the Christmas tree.
Yep.
And so I look back and celebrate those moments because they were awesome. And so be a part of this, and this is a great opportunity for you to walk your kids through it too. If you have young kids and say, look what our family's going to do this year. To love and serve families in our city. And so that doesn't mean you don't have to get your kids stuff. It just means that you're being a part of it. And this is, you know, for those of you that are saying, look, it's just not the time for me to adopt, this is a great opportunity to still be engaged in that process.
Right. And we're going to roll out, all that to our body this upcoming Sunday on Orphan Sunday. So next Wednesday, you'll hear, from us about it.
Awesome. We'll talk to you next week.
Hold me up, I am falling. Hold me close, I am prone to run away. Lay me down.